Late in the evening, I can see that radio light, and everybody gathers and everybody'd rather be together on a Saturday night. Plates on the table, sister and brother on my right, and everybody gathers and everybody'd rather be together on the Saturday night. Well, you're listening to Shaun of the South. We're coming to you the first of the new year, 2021. With a special guest tonight, old-time fiddlers Tricia Spencer and Howard Raines, Aaron Peters on the biscuit box fiddle, and Silvio Shintamore on drums. We're going to give you a rundown of how we plan to spend this year. Letters from the Road, read you a little bit of our mail. And also want to mention this broadcast brought to you by WNC Original Music. My buddy Ron Taylor scours the nation searching for music that will bless your heart and blow your hair back. Everybody's happy, even grumpy old grandpappy, together on a Saturday night. Coffee on the stove, oh, sweet potato pie. You probably couldn't stand it, we're smiling like a bandit, together on a Saturday night. Now we've been around the world from Timbuktu to Rome. It must be true what Dorothy said, ain't no place like home. If you need a friend, hey listen buddy, I'm your guy. Just hurry and come over, mama made up all turnovers together on a Saturday night. Everybody gathers and everybody'd rather be together on a Saturday night. This episode is coming to you from Northwest Florida, the first episode of the new year 2021. My goodness, what an incredible year it's been, if you want to call it incredible. You could call it anything really, and that definition would probably fit. Incredible would probably be the last word you ever use. It's been a tough one. This episode is brought to you by Case Knives, a tradition of my family dating back to my granddaddy, who once said the best cure for idle hands was to build something. And he was the kind of guy who would sit outside on a clapboard porch and carve little wooden figurines like buffaloes and collies and basset hounds and bears holding fish and trout and rainbow trout. And I carry several of these with me, along with the case knife that belonged to my father, which is a little double-bladed yellow, butter yellow case knife that's always in my pocket. It's tiny, and the blades are so worn that they are concave in their shape, which is because my father was obsessive about sharpening his knives, and I'm pretty certain that this knife was also the one that sliced off his finger one day when he was at work, and his buddy threw his severed finger into his lunchbox over ice, and they were traveling all the way across town to get to the ER, and the doctor said, "Oh my goodness, what have you done?" My father had cut off the entire front pad of his finger, his index finger. The doctor said, "Do you happen to have the finger?" And my buddy, my father's buddy, came in with his lunchbox. He opened it up, and at first, they say, he pulled out a ham sandwich, and he took a bite and said, "Yeah, let me have a look." At which point he dug around looking for that finger, and he found it. He gave it to the doctor. The doctor sewed it on my dad's finger, and my daddy says, or used to say before he passed away, he's passed away a long time ago, he said that his index finger always smelled faintly of Virginia cut, spiral cut ham. So, case knives. Also, by midnight shift coffee, the official coffee of the Pensacola Police Department, a buck from each bag goes to support the Riley Foundation, which helps support childhood cancer. Go visit midnightshiftcoffee.com and get the get up and go you're going to get, because it really is good coffee. I have some right here in front of me. Like I said, we're in Walton County, Florida. Walton County, Florida is a place that is oft forgotten. You see, it's less like Florida at all, and really what it is. Walton County, Florida is Lower Alabama, which we affectionately call L.A. Now, a lot of people don't understand that that is where I live. They think Florida, and Florida brings up all sorts of images of Miami and Art Deco shopping districts and places that are heavily influenced by the Latino populations. Not so in Walton County. We are a county that butts up to the state of Alabama. We even have a town in the north of our county called Florala. Florala. I love that name. It's a combination of two worlds is what it is. Funiac Springs is the county seat of Walton County, Florida, my home county. And in Funiac Springs is this little historic library, this little clapboard house that looks an awful lot like the kinds of houses our old people used to sit on many, 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 many years and years and years ago. This place was built in 1886 when a group of women who were part of the Walton County, they were the Ladies Aid Society is what they were. These women banded together and raised $580 for this little clapboard house. And they became the Ladies Library Association. They earned money for books and kept the library open until 1902, when the first official librarian was hired, Alice Fellows. She became the first salaried librarian of Walton County. This library has been operating since 1896 to 1926. The name was later changed in 1975 to the Walton / Funiac Library. And in 1984, there was a beautiful rear section added, which really fits the library nicely. And the great thing about this place is, aside from the clapboards and the little steep roof and the wooden doors in the front and the huge live oaks that lean over it and the azaleas blooming and the wax myrtles and the location is quite serene. If you've never been to Funiac Springs, you really ought to go. The great thing about this library is that it is the oldest operating, continuously operating library in Florida. The oldest continuously run library in our state. Unbelievable. $580. $580 they raised. This place has kept me sane during a pandemic. I have checked out so many books during this pandemic. It is ridiculous. Another reason I tell you about this library is because this is my home county, and this is where our first episode of the season is coming to you from. And this season, we're going to be taking you in the theater of the mind to different places throughout the U.S. and throughout the Southeast. The reason for this is because since we started this show several years ago, we've been fortunate enough to gather a bunch of listeners. We began this show with 8 listeners, if you can believe it. 8 listeners, not even enough to form a baseball team. And after years of hard work and travel around the nation and just plugging away with a lot of help and support from a lot of different people, we have built that number up to 12 listeners. And so we put out there that we would like to go to visit some great places in this country. So coming up on the next segment, I'm going to tell you some of these places that were suggested to us, and we're going to play this by ear, I guess, this year, and move from I don't know, spot to spot. Now, before I get started, with me today is Tricia Spencer and Howard Rains, who are going to play a song for you that is extremely old, and it's a song that makes me, I guess it makes me think of Florida because of the terminology, which you will hear, and I won't spoil it for you. Right, so, ladies and gentlemen, Tricia Spencer and Howard Rains, go ahead.
Pines where the sun don't ever shine, I would shiver the whole night through. You caused me to weep and you caused me to moan. You caused me to leave my home. In the pines where the sun don't ever shine, I would shiver the whole night through. Pines where the sun don't ever shine, I would shiver the whole night through. My husband was a hard-working man. He was killed about a mile from here. His head was found in the driver's wheel, but his body has never been found. In the pines where the sun don't ever shine, I would shiver the whole night. Thank you. the pines where the sun don't ever shine, I would shiver the whole night through.
Well, coming to you, this broadcast from Walton County, Florida, my home county, only a short hop, skip, and a jump from the Alabama line. Walton County, Florida is nothing but magnolia trees and longleaf pines and live oaks, which are twisted and gnarled with time, and wiregrass that spans for miles, and the Gulf of Mexico and the Choctahatchee Bay, which is where God lives. In 1824, Walton County was organized by European Americans, and it was named for Colonel George Walton, Jr. Now, Walton, the son of George Walton, Sr., was a signer on the Declaration of Independence. He was born in 1786 in Georgia. He died in Virginia. But between 1763 and 1783, this territory, which he was the secretary of later on, the Florida Territory, had since become Walton County, and it was part of the British West Florida Colony, a place that featured the first English-speaking people to permanently reside in what is now Walton County. Now, most of these people were Scottish settlers. They were very, very surly people. They had come from the back countries of the Carolinas, and they'd come here to find a new life for themselves along the Choctahatchee River and the Yuchi Valley. These were people who were ungovernable by the Spanish government. They were constantly defined as quote-unquote stubborn. The stubborn Irish, the stubborn Scottish, and the stubborn English. These are my people. Walton County has the highest point in Florida, which is 345 feet or 105 meters. It's located in North Walton County. It is Britton Hill. And the highest town itself is also in Walton County, just close to the Alabama line, Paxton, Florida. If you've never been to Paxton, you are missing out. There's a sign, a billboard on the side of the road somewhere up around there that says guns, Viagra, and discount lottery tickets. I'm not making that up. You will need to see that one day. It will bless your heart and blow your mind. Walton County is special. It's got a wonderful vibe to it. In the Christmas season, just recently behind us, the Funiac Springs puts on all these lights that surround the downtown. And this library that I'm telling you about, this library is just an experience. Walk in, look at the floorboards and the clapboards on the sides, and the little sign that perches itself out front beneath them, gnarled live oaks. You owe it to yourself to come visit a little bit of Walton County. And now Tricia Spencer and Howard Rains are going to play you a song that you might have heard when this little town, this little county, dedicated this little library to its people, to its children, and to its adults, and to its red-headed author, who would use and avail himself to these books during a pandemic. This is a song you might have heard when the ribbon was cut and the door was opened and this county welcomed its library into being.
First unto this country a stranger I came, I courted a fair maiden, Nancy was her name. I courted her for love, her love I didn't obtain. Do you think I've any reason or right to complain? I rode to see my Nancy, I rode both day and night, till I spied a fine dray horse, both plump looking and white.
The sheriff's men, they followed and overtaken me. They carted me away to the penitentiary. They opened up the door and then they shoved me in. They cleared off my head and they shaved off my chin. They beat me and they banged me, they fed me on dry beans, till I wished to my own soul I'd never been a thief. So bold, with my coat of many colors like Jacob of old.
We're going to read you a little bit of our mail sent in to us from listeners all over this fine nation who had nothing better to do than to put pen to paper or thumb to phone screen and tell us a little bit about something we ought to do. We put out on social media a question. A question asking where we should visit with this podcast for the 2021 season. Since we're not doing many live shows and since we are, well, let's just say it, isolated from... from daily life and happiness and all sorts of joy, we are taking it to the road, and really we're bringing you, hopefully, in the theater of your mind into some brand new locations. That was the goal this year. We want you to see some things without ever having to leave your house. I know you've always wanted to hear what it sounds like in different parts of the world, and that's what we can offer you. Can't offer you the vision with your own two eyes, but we can certainly try offer it with your ears. Okay, so we asked a lot of people about towns that were under 25,000 people, population less than 25,000, which is why I am coming to you from Walton County to Phoenix Springs. Some of these answers were quite short. Some of these were quite long. I'm just going to read you some of the suggestions we've had. And I want to encourage you, if after you've heard this podcast, you've got an idea where we ought to go, just send me an email, Sean of the South Show at gmail.com, or you can look us up online at seanofthesouthshow.com, where you can find archived episodes dating back to our first episode all the way to this episode, which you are now hearing, which is an awful lot like a slow motion train wreck. First message comes from Raketa Wilson, who says, "Sean, you ought to come to Heflin, Alabama. We have about 3,500 people, and we have a nice amphitheater on Main Street. Currently, we're revitalizing our little public library, the Lucille Morgan Library. We affectionately call this place the Lucy. Either would be a great spot, I think, for the podcast. We're in Cleburne County. You could also visit Mount Chiaha. I'd be happy to help orchestrate your visit. Please come see us. Please come see us." This one comes from D. Jones, 5252. "Dear Sean, come to Springville, Alabama. We love you, and we are close to trustful." This one comes from Southern Made Simple on Instagram, by the way. "Dear Sean, come to Honorville, Alabama, because if the sound of being bored out of your ever-loving mind sounds exhilarating to you, you will love it here." No most of us are good people, Sean. Come on down. From KCAA 64. Dear Sean, Athens, Alabama is over the limit. It's 2100, I guess. Nearby Elkmont, Alabama. It fills the bill with 540 people. Also, its neighbors Ardmore, Alabama / Tennessee with the combined population of 2600. Or you can just pick any one of these around here and you will find what you're looking for. You would definitely get some of that good food that you like to eat from Suzanne's Bakery. Suzanne's Bakery, my goodness. Just the name does it for me. Magnolia Rider says, Brookhaven, Mississippi, population 12,500, including me and Brett. Come on down. This comes from YED, well, I guess Ye Diaz. That's kind of a hard one to pronounce. Please come join us in Bay St. Louis, Sean. I think you will love it. We have the perfect place. This comes from P.C. Mike. P-C-E-A-U Mike. These names are hard. Who gave me this list? P-C-E-A-U-L-A-X-M-G-F-L-T-L-G-Y Mike. Dear Sean, come on down to Evans, Georgia. We were named the best place to live by Money Magazine, population 16,000. Yeah, well, interesting. Amy Patterson, Talladega, Alabama. Sean, come and let me know when you're coming, and I'll find a place for you to do it. We got good barbecue, I promise. Cindy Tuttle, Saluda, North Carolina, Sean, 700 give or take. We would love to have you here. It's frozen in time. It's a tiny town in western North Carolina. The queen of tomato aspic lives here, my grandmother. You will like it. Come on to Saluda, North Carolina. It must be said here that tomato aspic serves no earthly purpose on this planet. Why on God's green earth would anybody want to eat a dish that tastes like reconstituted bowling wax? We don't know. We don't know. Mary Fannett says, Sean, come on to my place. And she does not say where she lives. How wonderful. How wonderful. Come to Wetumpka, Alabama, Sean. Come to Lyons, Georgia, Sean. Come to Gunnersville, Alabama, Sean. This one's username is Leader of the Chicken Parade. I just love that. She says, Sean, come to Eva, Alabama, 499 people. Southern and Style says, Sean, Ashland, Alabama is where you need to go. Beautiful location, down hometown. Come to Ashland. Kale, yeah, 66 says Hot Springs, North Carolina, definitely. Population 532. Consider staying at the Azul Arts. They would love to have you, and they usually put up artists for free. Well, that does it there. That's all I need to hear. The only problem being, I'm not really an artist. Let's see here. Read you a few more. Southern Style Cheat Sheet says, Sean, Tyrone, North Carolina, population 1600. Quaint mountain town that is a cross between Mayberry and a Hallmark Christmas Channel movie. KJ Knight says, Moreland, Georgia, and you can visit the Louis Grizzard Museum. Then my family will take you just up the road to Noonan and buy you some Sprayberries barbecue. Boy, and I've been there, and I love Sprayberries. I would go again. I would definitely go again. Jane Thalecrantz says, stop by Millbrook, Alabama, Sean. Your friends are welcome to record at the Robinson Springs Church. The acoustics are great. We've seen you there before. We would love to see you there again. I do remember that place. It was a beautiful building. Oh, boy. We've got way too many to read, but I'll read you a few more just because I have nothing better to do today. And honestly, you have nothing better to do either, I promise. Probably Porter says, Dear Sean, Haleyville, Alabama. It is between Bankhead and the National Forest and Natural Bridge. You're going to love it here. Jennifer Dean says, Sean, Water Valley, Mississippi is a must. Join us in August for the Watermelon Festival. Now that I can get behind. Haley Caldwell says Ardmore, Tennessee, the town on the state line, spread across four counties. Sweet little place. I'm proud to call it my home. Sean, come to Folkstown, Georgia, says D. Manis, home to one of the finest places in the world to watch the trains and Okefenokee National Wildlife. Almost sounded like I said a cuss word there. Chickamauga, Georgia, Sean, says Fowler, 1898. Come see the Civil War history, and it is above average, I promise. Oh, boy. I'll read a few more. Strawberry, Arizona, Sean. I know you probably won't get out this far, but one can ask, can't they? Also, nearly every town in Iowa has 5,000 people or less. I recommend visiting Lenox, Iowa. Lenox, Iowa. Kathy Perrin says, Island, Kentucky, Sean. There's no beachfront property and nothing but great burgers. Come see us. And finally, Debbie Gibson, 59, says, Orange, Texas. Population 18,500. We're on the Texas-Louisiana border. The Lucher Theater is beautiful. Pre-pandemic, we used to have Broadway shows and musicals all year. I think you would really like it here. Come on down. And that's letters from our listeners. I'd like to tell you, we're happy to entertain any single idea you give us. Tell us a little bit about the history of your county. Tell us a little bit about why we ought to come. And who knows, maybe we'll show up in your neck of the woods. How about another song here to save me from myself, from talking too much? Trisha Spencer and Howard Raines are going to play a song for you here. Trisha Spencer is a Kansas fiddler who grew up learning old-time music from her grandparents. And at a really early age, she was always finding herself on some stage, tapping her foot to the beat of fiddles, banjos, mandolins, and guitars. Now, there's a real special way to dance to fiddle music. And this used to be our dance music way, way back in the day. The Pinewood dance floors would be out there, spread out underneath them cocktail lights, and young girls and young men would stand on that floor and they would kick their feet in rhythm. This is the kind of fiddle music that's very different than the fiddle music you hear coming out of Nashville today. This is old time fiddle music. And Howard Raines is a native Texas artist, plays Texas fiddle. He's born as a fourth generation fiddler. He comes from a real artistic family. And his two obsessions, besides fiddling, is painting and archaic fiddling. Painting. And his work can be seen online at spencerandraines.com. S-P-E-N-C-E-R-A-N-D, Raines, R-A-I-N-S.com. These guys are true living talents. They've performed together and taught nationally and internationally. And they've taught other people the art of twin fiddle harmony, which is just, it's an art form that's disappearing. It's a product of Midwestern and Scandinavian fiddlers and Texas fiddling and Kansas fiddling and Southern fiddling. It's the same sense of harmony that they also put into their vocals and the same sense of earnestness you're going to hear in American folk music. Trisha, Howard, play one for us.
Come on, boys, let's take a little nap. We'll all go down to the Cumberland Gap. Cumberland Gap, Cumberland Gap. We'll all go down to the Cumberland Gap. Cumberland Gap is a mighty fine place. There's streams of whiskey to wash your face. Lay down, boys, and take your ease. Gonna have a battle with the ticks and fleas. Cumberland Gap, Cumberland Gap. We'll all go down to the Cumberland Gap. Cumberland Gap, Cumberland Gap. We'll all go down to the Cumberland Gap. Mm-hmm.
and everything's packed. We'll all go down to the Cumberland Gap. Cumberland Gap, oh Cumberland Gap. We'll all go down to the Cumberland Gap. When I die, I'll make my will. I want to be buried on a Cumberland Hill. Cumberland Gap is not my home. Gonna leave old Cumberland alone. Cumberland Gap, Cumberland Gap. We'll all go down to the Cumberland Gap. Cumberland Gap, Cumberland Gap. We'll all go down to the Cumberland Gap. Cumberland Gap, we'll all go down to the Cumberland Gap. Cumberland Gap, Cumberland Gap, we'll all go down to the Cumberland Gap. Cumberland Gap, Cumberland Gap, we'll all go down to the Cumberland
Well, this portion of our program is brought to you by Folklore Brewing and Meadery. Visit folklorebrewingandmeadery.com to learn about the best brew, literally, in Alabama. Folklore Brewing and Meadery. Also by Visit North Alabama or hashtag Visit North AL. Visit the 16 North Alabama counties that make this state what it is, a state that resides just above my state, about 35 to 40 miles from the Alabama line, is where we are right now. I think what I love most about being on the road is, and I'm just going to level with you, it's barbecue. Now, when I'm on the road, I'm always searching for barbecue. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where I am. Last year, before the pandemic hit, we went to about 40 different states, and I ate barbecue in every single state. It's true. I love barbecue. It is a American art form. Barbecue and being on the road goes together like a pencil and paper, like peanut butter and jelly, like Bud Abbott and Lou Costello. Barbecue is being on the road for me. If you were to give me a list of the greatest feelings in the entire universe, the greatest feelings of all, barbecue would be up there. And I mean it. I can close my eyes right now and I can feel barbecue. It is a feeling. It's not just something you taste or you see. It is a feeling. And the feeling is centralized in your nose. I can describe the smell. It is hickory and pecan wood and mesquite burning together. And it just hits you right in the back of the throat when you're smelling the distance on an empty stomach and you're driving on an open highway far from home. My God, this is one of my top five feelings of all time. It's the same feeling you get when you watch a ball game and it's the bottom of the ninth and two outs and your guy just is running from third base and he slides into home Everybody wins. Everybody cheers. Sid Bream, I'm looking at you. That's barbecue. That's the feeling. Another great feeling. Children giving you hugs. Of their own free will and volition. Oh, that's a good feeling. Now, before the pandemic came, I used to go to church whenever the mood hit me. I've never been what you call a super religious guy, although I do come from people who were religious. We were the kind of people who did not believe in certain things because they led to certain things. Case in point, and this is true, my people did not believe in something called mixed bathing. Mixed bathing was the public swimming pool. Mixed bathing was girls in bathing suits and boys in bathing suits. This was lewd and lascivious behavior. My people did not believe in that. We were also kinds of people who did not believe in keeping Listerine in the cabinet because Listerine was too much alcohol. We didn't believe in having Advil or aspirin around because Advil and aspirin comes in 150 tablet containers. And that 150 tablets is doubting the Lord 150 separate times. You think I'm kidding? Well, my favorite part of church as an adult was when service was over and the preacher finally shut up. Because there would be kids in church, and I love at the end of service when the kids would come running up to me, and they'd throw their arms around me, and they'd tell me about their week. We had a little redheaded girl. She'd come up to me at the end of every week, and she'd throw her arms around me, and she'd say, "Mr. Sean, oh, Mr. Sean." We were the only two redheads in that entire church, and redheads are a dying breed, you know. Well, to a man like me who don't have kids, that is a real good feeling. I mean, real good. There was also a young boy in that church who would always come find me, and he'd throw his arms around me. He came up to about my knees. He'd tell me what he did that week in school. He'd color me pictures. I remember one kid once made a little mug with paint on it. They knew I liked Superman, so they painted the Superman signet on it. I do love Superman. Another good feeling I could think of would be a loaded fireplace. There's nothing better than a fireplace. And dogs. What about dogs? There's nothing better than a dog in your lap, fast asleep. Even so, barbecue ranks up there with the best of the best of the best of the best feelings. Now, you know it's true. You might even be driving on the road listening to this right now, this episode, eating barbecue. I hope you are. Well, that's what the pandemic took away from me. The joy of feeling the whir of tires beneath your seat and the sound of Farron Young on the radio singing those sad songs, or Barbara Mandrell, or Hank Williams, George Jones, the taste of country-style ribs. Oh, the pandemic took that from me. This is a time when you eat barbecue on the road, that you zone out and you look out your windows and you see Alabaman farmland or Georgian farmland or Tennessean farmland, Arkansas farmland, Mississippi farmland. I remember once driving through Mississippi and being just knocked out by the hours of flatness that were around us. And I was eating barbecue that we got from a filling station. Filling station barbecue. Oh, that's the feeling. That's the feeling. Those long grain flat fields on your right and the golden hay fields on your left and the bass ponds with the cattle perched around the edges of the pond sipping and old barns barely able to withstand the rigors of time and chimneys still standing in vacant pastures which have had two houses built around them at one time or another in their lives and bridges over creeks that are shallow and ducks crossing the highway. I like tractors holding up traffic on two-lane highways. I love this when this happens. A lot of people behind you will get totally ticked off when they see that tractor weaving and bobbing on that two-lane highway, usually driven by an old man who's old enough to remember the presidency of William McKinley. Oh, I do love that. I love to watch him just bump and bounce on that seat. Yeah. Oh, and I love fried chicken got from filling stations while I'm on Things I Love. Dufuniac Springs has a place called Hart's Filling Station. They got the best fried chicken in the entire world. If you are ever out in that area, you need to go to Hart's Filling Station. You will not regret it. It's a little place, and if I remember right, they're not always open. Sometimes they open like whenever the heck they feel like it. These are the feelings. Okay, these are the feelings that I love. And before the coronavirus, I was always on the road, and I was always having these feelings. I was born on the road, you know that? I'm serious, I was born on the road. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding you, I was born on the road. But my mother went into labor. She called my father at work on the black rotary phone we had in the kitchen, which I can still see, the one that goes that. She called my father on that phone. He's at work, and she said she was going to the hospital because she was going to, quote, unquote, squirt this baby out anytime. My father should get home quick before something bad happened and drive her to the hospital. He was not quick enough. He could not leave because he was working way far away. And so my mother crawled into the old Ford that she had, the old brown Ford with the tires that were fifth-hand tires. The Ford itself was an old used Ford my father bought out the newspaper. It was a sixth-hand piece of junk. She crawled in there, and she drove herself across town into Jackson County. Her water broke in the car while she's speeding across that highway. And so, literally, before I was even 10 seconds old, I was already on the road. Now, I can't speak to whether my mother had barbecue or not, but I know that I was on that road. And that's why I grew up appreciating pavement. I really did. Pavement was the theme of my life. When I was a kid, we were always on the road, too. Now, my father was, back in those times, my father was an iron worker. There was a kind of iron worker in America called a boomer. A boomer is a dying breed now because life has changed. But back then, there were these blue-collar men named boomers, tall and lean and always clad in denim and hard hats that were covered in stickers. And these boomers would travel anywhere. Anywhere new work took them, they'd go. Now, my father was always taking new work. We lived in 7 different houses in 8 years. That's how often we moved. That's why I feel rootless sometimes. He lived everywhere. He'd gone to Colorado, Georgia, Tennessee, Missouri, Kansas, North Carolina. You name it. Well, I remember him telling me once just how much he liked being on the road. He didn't start that way, but it happened that way just the same. He found that he loved it. He found that it agreed with him. And I remember going into his old diesel truck, the old Ford. It was outfitted with the old oxygen canisters with the tubes hanging on the back and all sorts of junk and tools. He must have carried 10 tons of tools on that truck. And when he died, those tools all landed to me. There must have been thousands of dollars worth of rusted tools, and it's sad that I don't even remember where they went. I have a few, like I have a few hammers and such, yeah, but it's amazing what disappears when someone dies. I remember getting into that truck, and I would see his floorboards would be littered with foil wrappers, 10 foil wrappers from barbecue joints. Oh yes, my father, the unsettled man that he was happy on the road. In fact, the night before he died, he had been on the road. He's probably, right now, as I say this, in some otherworldly way, on the road right now. Since I was about 17 years old, I have been driving and always on the road. That's just been the way my life has been. I started playing music with regional bands when I was very young, and when I was old enough to drive, I took gigs wherever I could find them. Now, musicians are a funny, funny lot, as you can tell here today, looking at these guys in here. And the way that they've fallen asleep while I'm talking. Funny. Well, musicians all over the world, I don't know if you know this, musicians all over the world, but especially in the U.S., are a community that forms in any state or any county or any little city, which is really part of a bigger community of musicians, which is really part of a regional community of musicians. And this community is not as big as you would think it is. Now, a lot of people, you know, would imagine that there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of musicians. Well, maybe in L.A. and New York, possibly, but not in the rural South. In the rural South, we don't have that many musicians. You have maybe enough musicians between Chiefland, Florida, and Atlanta to put together three or four good bands. So, it's true. Once you get into this community of musicians, you belong. And you find that you have only a few degrees of separation between you and a musician in Alabama, in Trustful, in Birmingham, in Atlanta. And so once your name's in the pool, you can get a gig anywhere in the U.S. The way I did things, that's the way a lot of people did things from a young age. So I played with anybody and everybody. I played piano in Atlanta one night, and the next night I'd play guitar in some water hole outside Birmingham. I'd play in a beer joint in Florida, and then I'd spend the next night in Mobile. Believe me, I'm not saying this is a great way to live. It's actually quite tested and tried. But at this stage of my life, when I was in my mid-20s to early 30s, this is how I paid my bills. I worked construction in the day and when I could find it, and I would hit the road and I would play music wherever duty called. Now, thinking back about it, it's kind of romantic. Even though it probably wasn't truly romantic at the time, even though I was tired. And each night, my back would hurt because I often slept in my truck. And my dog was always with me. She loved to travel. Ella Mae. My 80-pound bloodhound. And sometimes late after playing some loud joint where people would want a two-step and waltz to certain songs that I've played 100,000 times. I mean, you think when you play music, you're gonna play the songs you love like crazy and Hello Darling, but you end up playing Behind a Chain Link Fence, Achy Breaky Heart for the 150th time to people who are rich but bought a cowboy hat and started two-stepping as if they were, you know, raised on the ranches of Texas when they've never really seen a cattle in their life, and in fact work for the attorney down the street and own golf clothes that cost more than your house. After a night like that, I would get into my truck and I'd drive on that dark highway, and I'd eat barbecue, and I'd get so tired once that food hit that I'd pull over into some vacant field in the middle of the night, and I'd unroll my sleeping bag in the bed of my truck, and I'd stretch out beneath the stars. I'd look up at that sky on a summer night, and the sky would just look like pinpricks in the purple fabric of heaven. And you know, I would feel real joy. I really would. There's something about being on the road. It made me feel like I belonged in this earth, like I was a citizen here. Like the dirt and the soil beneath my feet kind of belonged to me. It was like I was no longer an orphan, which is how I felt for a long time after my father passed and growing up the way I did. I felt stranded, but here on the road, I was an heir to this place. This place was mine to love, to appreciate, to write about. It was like a beautiful woman, or like the melody of an Aaron Copland symphony. This is what being on the road does for me. And the next morning, I would inevitably crawl out of my truck bed, stiff and sore, with a lower back that just needed attention, and I would have to resist heavily the temptation to pop an aspirin, because that would be an act of non-faith. And I'd awake and I'd discover I was trespassing in someone's fescue field. Always. Well, it was free. And I'd look around and I'd see some farmer's truck coming to get me, and I would wake up and I'd try to hurry myself. I'd let my dog go off and do her morning business, and I'd brew coffee over this tiny camp stove with a propane tank that was, you know, a tiny propane tank. And in 10 minutes, I'd be on the road again. And that was life, and it was beautiful. It's amazing what youth would do to a kid. It's intoxicating. Youth is a potent hallucinogenic. At this age of life now, I realized that I was probably just searching for myself. I was searching to find who the heck I was, and I was searching to find that little boy who I used to be, the kid that I'd lost somewhere along life's way. Or maybe I was just searching for images of an old man on a tractor. Or maybe I was searching for those old fields with the cattle perched around the ponds and sipping water, that gray water from that water hole. Or maybe I was looking for those old chimneys. Or maybe it really was as simple as just looking for a good place to get some barbecue. Well, that's Shaun of the South for you this week. This has been our show. Love it or like it, you can't leave it. I don't even know what that means. Look, if you'd like to send us a message, please feel free to do so at shaunofthesouthshow@gmail.com. Tell us about yourself, tell us about your life, your birthday announcements, potluck invitations, or ice cream socials, and I'll do my best to either read them over the air or answer your questions the best that I can. Tell us where we ought to go. Next week, we're going to be going to Williamson County, Tennessee, to a town of 650 people with an area of about 1,100 acres. It's a little place located along the Natchez Trace Parkway. You don't want to miss it. So send us a message, tell us about yourself, or find us on Instagram, or find us wherever you want to find us. Just be happy. Be happy this week. Do whatever it takes to find your own happiness. Get on the road, eat some barbecue, down an entire vat of pimento cheese. Whatever you do, just try to smile. And if you can't figure out how to do that, then just look me up, and I'll make a big enough fool of myself that you won't be able to help but laugh. Adios.